True crime fans rejoice. Small Town Murder is now on Podcast One. Crime and Sports' James Petragallo and Jimmy Wissman look at small towns, what makes them tick, and the murders that took place there. In-depth research, horrible tragedy, and the host's comedic spin on the whole thing. What can go wrong? Subscribe to hear new episodes every Thursday on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and Apple Podcasts.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. The choice. Get on, man. Get on. Welcome to the best hour in the universe. It's Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Mark Garagus, freshly shorn.
I zipped the head. I've got a tie on in the studio, which I think may be a first.
Are you coming from court or are you heading to court?
I'm coming from court. I was just literally in court arraigning Suge Knight's lawyer, Matt Fletcher, who was indicted by the L.A. County DA's office. And we were there this morning going from one courtroom to another and literally just finished it up. And then I hopped in the car to come see you, Adam. From one judge to another, from Judge Lomelli to Judge Carolla.
We were talking last week about Suge Knight, Suge Knight's lawyer, and the difficulty because information was passed from Suge Knight to him, but it was through a third party, and they said that did not – then the client privilege – attorney-client privilege did was null and void because right. there was another party, which seems – a little insane to me.
Yeah, it's beyond insane that when you're in custody, that not only do you basically forfeit your attorney-client privilege, because what lawyer can go down every single day to talk to the client? You got to use the phone. There's no other way to make the thing work. I mean, it's an impossibility to run a practice as a lawyer and then run down to the jail, have the sheriff put you through the rigmarole of getting into the attorney-client room. In addition to that, the attorney-client room has specific hours when you can be there, which are never convenient. So one of the only things you can do is talk to your client over the phone. And generally what happens is the client will call a third party, and then the third party will rope in the lawyer. And they're saying now that you forfeit your right to attorney-client privilege if you do that, which, by the way, is not the state of the law. So that's the first thing we're going to test.
Suge has been in jail for how long now?
It was since he started, since the incident, I'm going to say 2 years. Gary can correct me.
It feels like about 2 years. They were filming
Straight out of Compton.
Straight out of Compton. And what is this story? He showed up,
apparently had a beef with, I don't know if it was Dre or somebody else, but ultimately, he's over at the Tams, and if you've ever been down in Compton, the Tams is—I know it because there's not a whole lot of lunch places when you're down in trial in Compton.
Well, so Lynette and the kids and I always brunch in
at Tams.
Compton. Are there other places in Compton we like to go as well?
I can see Sonny in the morning, Dad, Sunday morning. Dad, can we take a drive to Tams in Compton?
I got a hankering for chicken and waffles.
Yeah, so he's there. And then that's where it's – I mean, what's on the videotape shows the truck
– February 2015. We're right on 3 years.
3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And by the way, he has run through lawyer after lawyer after lawyer on that case. My favorite part of this, it was in the – I think it was the Daily News. Some reporter called me up and they said, Your Honor, I want to say something. And he had just let his – this last week. He says, I just let my – lawyer go literally 5 minutes before, and he's talking to Judge Cohen, and Suge says, he says, my lawyers, they tell me, and Fletcher tells me, stay away from those white lawyers. And then what happens? Fletcher gets indicted, Your Honor, and he goes and gets Garagus. And I said, wait a second. I was quoted as this, although I don't know that people would like it. I said, I'm not white. I'm Armenian. So stay out of my stop racially stereotyping me.
The notion, just to step aside for a second, this notion that the mayor of Baltimore, because the mayor of Baltimore is black, is going to do well by Baltimore's black citizens, historically has not worked out very well. The mayor or whomever, the police chief, and or I would make the same argument with Don King. I think Don King got a lot of black heavyweights to sign up with him because he went like, hey, I'm not Bob Arum. I'm not the blue-eyed, Jew-eyed devil over there. I'm one of you. I understand your struggles. Do not think for a second that the black man cannot screw over his fellow black man.
Well, having extricated, and I think Mike Tyson would confirm this, I literally extricated him from a bankruptcy that I've never seen any bankruptcy last so long. And at the end of it, it was clear to me that he had been screwed. He had been just screwed like nobody's ever been screwed. And it certainly was not by, Armos or white guys. So
I think your phone may be blowing up. I'm not sure.
Really?
And hey, speaking of Don...
You know why that's frightening, by the way?
It's the bat phone?
No. If that had happened in court, I would have forfeited the phone.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they
if
just,
the phone
first
does
time.
That, first time they always say, whose phone is that? And then the bailiff comes over and boom, boom, boom. So Judge Carolla is a lot more forgiving than...
I have a philosophical question for you about the law. And you don't have to agree with me, but you tell me if it tends to be true or not.
Okay.
I was driving out to Oxnard, California the other day. I had some quality time with Mike August, former attorney Mike August.
Is Mike active or inactive right now?
He keeps his license.
Yes, in New Orleans, I believe.
Active somewhere. Just for, he probably saves a nickel on like frozen yogurt or something with his law license or something, if I know Mike.
Right.
So he keeps it active. But we were talking about various cases. And there's this adage that anyone can sue anyone over anything. And
right.
So when I would say to people, it's happened to me a few times in my life. I had an attorney neighbor who lived down the hill from me. It was after a torrential rainstorm, got his pool filled with dirt and claimed that it's because my sprinkler line burst and I owe him $10,000
right.
And no insurance company could inspect it and so on and so forth. I had another case where a woman had bought my house from 1923. I hadn't lived in it for about 2 or 3 years. I was renting it out. She had it inspected. Then she bought the house. And then some years later, she said there was a crack in the foundation and that I hid it under some insulation underneath the house. And that if I didn't pay her $50,000, she had lawyered up. She was going to be an arbitration hearing and she was going to sue.
Right.
If I didn't settle.
Right.
So the guy down the hill from me said, I need $10,000. And he said, I know your current address and you'll be served papers tomorrow if I'm not paid. The other lawyer said, we have an arbitration and we need to settle this or I shall be suing.
Right.
Now, I said to whoever who would listen, there shall be no suing. And they said, why not? Anyone can sue over anything at any time. And I said, dumb people can think there's a lawsuit over anything at any time. But lawyers... It's their job to know what's winnable and what's not winnable.
Especially if it's a contingency.
And you, who shyster, whose pool filled with mud after a torrential downpour, and who would not let the insurance inspector come over and look at the damage, and have multiple emails where you go, how about you just give me $10,000? You, lawyer, shyster lawyer, you don't want this to see the inside of a courtroom. This is A, unwinnable, and B, you look like the bar might be interested in some of these emails you've sent.
There's a third consideration. As you did to the patent trolls, you could literally use your platform to beat him into submission publicly
right.
just by telling the truth, just by saying what you've said. So
yeah,
why,
and as far as...
Because normally what happens, and we can move into to what's topical, but normally what happens is a lawyer who thinks they're going to do that, and I've had it happen to me. I mean, lawyers will send me a letter and say, you know, if you don't settle, I'm going to report you to the state bar, and I'm going to do this or that. And then I have to show them the rule that says that that in and of itself is a violation of professional responsibility. I got to cite the last three cases where somebody sued me, and I ended up not only winning, but get damages against them for and my attorney's fees as well. So guys do it, but when they do it, it's almost like they're delusional. And well, you understood that intuitively.
I would say, and I would, I don't know if this is advice, but I would put it out there, which is, look, a crazy elderly woman who wants to sue you because her cat has asthma and she claims it's because of your secondhand smoke because you like to smoke a pipe on your porch. That's her being nuts. Good luck. When you get a note from her attorney that says, give us $10,000 because the cat needs a respirator now, or we'll see you in court, the lady may be nuts. The attorney usually isn't. He wants money, but what? He's not nuts. And if you can sort of think about the case, how would this case play out in court? You're on your property. You're on your veranda smoking a pipe. And you're going to get sued for damages because if her cat has emphysema,
right.
That'll never work. And if it'll never work, then tell the attorney to go pound sand, which I always do, because they never bring the lawsuit because there is no winnable. There's no angle you can approach a cracked foundation after after a certified inspector inspected your home
right.
upon a real estate transaction. Has nothing to do with me. There's no winnable case, so there shall be no offering of money or settlement or anything. And I think if you guys think about these cases in terms of what's realistic, and I also, not only did I know it wasn't winnable, but I had the shyster attorney who lived underneath me saying, you shall be receiving papers and you will be summoned to court this time tomorrow. Right. And I just went, no, I won't.
No.
No, I won't. Because I don't know what your case will be. I don't know what you would say.
And by the way, there's no way you can get me in less than 30 days.
Right.
Which reminds me, by the way, do you know what this is?
Mm.
National Small Business Month.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And whether you're just starting out or have a business, take advantage now of LegalZoom.
LegalZoom.
Just go to LegalZoom.com/startup during March to download your free business startup kit. I actually referred to, we call them PNCs, potential new clients. I said, don't pay my fees. I said, go to LegalZoom. There's a ton of great information, like how to maximize your business deductibles under the new tax laws, which, by the way, actually are seismic in the shift of what you can do and what you can't do, especially for business owners and capital expenditures. There's great discounts. There's special deals from LegalZoom, offers from their service partners so you can get financing, marketing, and operating your business. And remember, it's not a law firm, but they know you need to tap into the right resources to run a successful business. Right, Gary?
That is right. Go to LegalZoom.com/startup. Download your free business startup kit today. There's no obligation, just free business resources. This offer is only available in March, so if you're listening after that, you can still enjoy special savings by using code DOUBT when you check out at LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom, where life meets legal.
All right. Yes. Do you want to talk national news?
I want to talk a little Stormy Daniels because
yes.
I've been watching the lawyering. I don't care about anything else. I just like to watch the lawyering. So Michael Avenatti represents the Stormy Daniels. Michael Cohen is the longtime fixer, as they call him, for Trump.
He's Mr. Wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's going to fix things.
Right.
She's now kicking off a crowdfunding campaign.
Yeah.
To
And make America horny again is her tour. She's got a crowdfunding campaign. She's also apparently I've wondered all along, and I just saw Avenatti last Friday in New York, and I didn't ask him, but I was going to. I can't believe, and now it's come out that somebody's done it, but I've been saying for weeks, I can't believe somebody didn't offer to indemnify her for whatever the thing was in order to get the story. And my guess is the 60 Minutes did it. And I think by the time you listen to this, I think the 60 Minutes thing is going to come out tomorrow on Sunday. The interview, and you know, there was all kinds of talk this past week which was just nonsense, that Trump's people are going to try and get a restraining order. And I said, well, if they haven't read the any of the cases that interpret the First Amendment, because there's this wonderful thing called prior restraint, and the odds on getting 60 Minutes to not air an interview that's already in the can are not even slim. It's just none. It wasn't going to happen. But the lawyering is interesting to me because running in and getting – for those who don't know, they apparently went in and the agreement that Stormy Daniels had and that Keith Davidson, who was her then lawyer, did with Michael Cohen, said that if there is a violation that you have to do arbitration in Los Angeles, and the arbitration would – you'd end up agreeing to it. So they
agreeing to participate.
To participate in it.
Can I ask quickly – does she have a damages claim? Because there's a lot of lawyers and a lot of her and a lot of press conferences and Kickstarter and everything else. But is she saying that she was wronged at any time?
She's saying
injured.
This is the thing for lawyers to try and figure out, because what's the end game for her? Well, the end game is obviously, I think, to get publicity. Obviously, she's reignited her
career.
It's also
the title of one of her movies.
Yeah, well.
The end game.
The end game.
Well, so wait a second.
Or behind the end game.
Yeah, that's right.
No, there's, if you listen carefully, what they are saying publicly is, we're doing this so we're free to talk. Because Michael Cohen was out there making statements, although, frankly, Michael Cohen's first statement was in relation or in response to the Federal Election Commission, and you cannot stop somebody in an NDA from talking under legal process. So if I subpoena you, even if you've got an NDA, you still got to talk. Otherwise, that's obstruction.
Is it so few things. Cohen is Trump's guy, right? Is it fair to say that the left and or the left-leaning media has sort of cooled their jets on Russian and collusion and sort of moved on to Stormy Daniels?
Oh, well, there's no question that Stormy Daniels has broken through as one of the first things that has gotten traction on a wider basis.
Is it in relationship to the Russian collusion, unsatisfactory, no nourishment? I guess what I'm saying is as the people, as the press, if you're Rachel Maddow or something, and you always say it, I always think about you, because when I hear about folks on Fox News going, come on, it's been 14 months. What do you want? It's a nothing burger. I hear you going, these things take years.
So that's absolutely true. And, you know, and the crazy thing is the same. What bothers me intently is, and this is, I'm condemning both sides, the same people on the left who were arguing forcefully. I was one of them when I was defending McDougal during Clinton's thing, which has, I say it every single week. Every one of these things has a parallel to the Whitewater and Clinton, which ended up starts on Whitewater, ends in Lewinsky. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we're starting on Russian collusion. We're now at Stormy Daniels.
Right. And so if you're Rachel Maddow and you're coming on for your 327th broadcast in a row trying to talk about Russian collusion and Trump, and there's really just nothing to hang your hat on, now you can move on to Stormy Daniels, because there is some meat on that bone.
And what they're going to start doing, I think what you're going to see is it's going to come full circle. I've seen it bubbling up in the last 3 days. Now people, the narrative is, well, why is Stormy Daniels important? Well, obviously, in and of itself, he banged a porn star. Okay, so what? It's an issue between him and Melania. By the way, can you imagine what the grief he's getting from her?
I oftentimes think about that. I try to float that with Lynette.
Hey, see?
Not too shabby.
Right?
Huh?
Yeah,
she's like, take out the garbage.
So,
but I also wonder if they may have an arrangement. I mean, they may have an arrangement
because can you imagine him? I mean, I won't even go there, but let's just say.
But what I'm saying is like, you know, it's like if you said, look, I'm gay, but I have this law firm, and Chris Brown may not, he may cut me if he finds out I'm gay. So You Paulette, marry a woman, Paulette just you
She's
marry me,
right.
And you can go set up beautiful apartments in Paris, and I'll underwrite the whole thing, and you can circumnavigate La Cañada with your earbuds in, and you don't have to worry about my stinky flesh on top of you, but I do need you to kind of stay the course here.
Right.
You want me to fund the apartment, don't you, in Paris?
Exactly.
Right, so mum's the word, and that's an agreement, and it's happened historically
I'm going to throw it back. That used to be what people said about Bill and Hillary. They used to say, well, I get in the middle of it. Maybe there's an arrangement
I'm assuming, and you guys, but you tell me, if Bill and Hillary were not running for public office and had a charity and, you know, international speaking, everything like that, if they ran a hardware store in Little Rock, I'm assuming they would have gotten divorced at some point.
Well, now this is interesting because this is also topical. Don Jr.'s wife files for an uncontested divorce yesterday.
That was yesterday?
Yesterday, yeah.
Don Jr.?
Don Jr.'s wife.
Did not hear this.
She filed for an uncontested divorce. This, to me, is a flashing red light.
What is an uncontested divorce?
That means they're not going to contest custody, that they're trying to. They're getting to the point where they can. When you file, there are certain things that happen immediately. You're no longer considered together for vesting purposes for a prenuptial, for instance. So if somebody files for divorce on 9 years, 11 months, and there's a 10-year vesting provision, that makes a big deal. So a lot of times you'll see the breadwinner file just short of the 10-year vesting.
Right.
She's filing an uncontested divorce. The cynic in me says that means that Don knows that they're, and I've said for, as you know, for months now, that they that he's in the crosshairs of Mueller's investigation. He and Jared are in the crosshairs. And one of the only ways that you can protect assets generally from a third party, a government, a forfeiture, things of that nature, is a divorce that predates the action taken by the feds. Mm-hmm. So an uncontested divorce, to me, says that they think that there's harm coming at them or that they are in the crosshairs. And it may be a legally smart or they're thinking two or three steps ahead.
I'm also reading here that instead of hiring a divorce attorney, she hired a criminal defense attorney.
It makes all the sense in the world.
Right. Because if, let's just say,
how many people do you know with five kids whose grandfather is in the White House are going to file for divorce? I mean, if there's nothing else.
I could count them on one hand.
Right.
All my friends from Valley Village from back in the day, a couple of them. No, obviously what you do is you go, look, I hate your guts, you hate my guts, but we have 13,000 square feet to live in. So I'll go to this side of the house, and you go to that side of the house.
Don Jr. can go anywhere he wants. He can go from property to property.
Right. We'll
and
just ride
and
this
there.
Thing
ride
out for
out.
Another few years, and after the second election, whatever direction, we'll just we'll settle it then.
We'll settle it then. So obviously, there's something else going on. And Gary, that's a great fact. Who was the lawyer she hired?
Hold on, tease it for a second. Well, I'll tell you about another great lawyer. Marcia Clark Investigates, the First 48, new original docuseries, premieres Thursday, March 29th at 9 p.m. on A&E.
Gary,
Marcia Clark delivers.
Wait a second. Why don't we have Marcia in here reading her own promo?
She should.
Right?
I believe we could get Marcia in here. You could get Marcia in here.
I can get Marcia in here.
Marcia Clark delves into America's most shocking unsolved crimes and controversial verdicts. Each two-hour episode explores a different investigation, taking an in-depth look at the first 48 after the crime and uncovers new revelations and angles. Also, they cover the controversial murder cases and include Casey Anthony's daughter, Kaylee. Chandra Levy, that's one we spoke about. Robert Blake's wife, Bonnie Lee Bakley. Also, Run DMC's Jam Master Jay and Drew Peterson's wife, all covered by Marcia Clark. Thursday, March 29th.
What channel?
9 p.m. on A&E.
A&E, wow.
So the attorney, Gary.
Yeah, I might be butchering this name, but Dave Feuerstein.
Cool. Out of New York.
F-E-U-R-E-I-S-E-N.
Okay. Liz, so, out of New York.
But yes, out of New York.
We ought to have him call up and do a little cross-examination on my former federal prosecutor, adjunct professor of law, Rear Admiral. Do a little cross on him as to why he's doing family law.
I'm with you. I try not to be too cynical, but when I hear about a move like this uncontested, I'm in your camp 100%.
It's inexplicable.
So they know
to me.
Something.
Right. They know okay. something. They've gotten, somebody has told them through the joint defense agreement. And mind you, we've been speculating, and I love speculating. That's what we get to do here, is that once they focused on Jared and Don Jr., that those were the guys that they had to be going after. I mean, because they need one or both of them in order to get to Trump. And this is, by the way, for any of you who are asking why, how, whatever, this is exactly what the feds do. This could not be, you couldn't find a blueprint that fits better than what's going on with this investigation.
One of the Stormy Daniels stories I heard was that Cohen signed the release on the, non-disclosure, $130,000, not Trump, but his lawyer signed it. Thus, it was null and void, which I sort of thought was dubious. Like,
there's all kinds of things called adoptive admissions and things like that. I mean, that's not the best argument. The best argument is now that it's out there in the public, offer to give the $130,000 back and go on your way.
I mean, just to circle back to her damages weren't of the time. Her damages are now, which is, I would like to tell my story and you won't let me. That's right. Damaging.
And by the way, you bargained him away for $130,000. So most people are going to say that's the end of the story. Most judges are going to say that's the end of the story. You had an agreement. Just because you don't like it now or circumstances change, you should have thought of that.
Well, I think the essence of an agreement is, you know, somebody could sell you their house for under market value. The economy could go boom, and you can't circle back in 3 years and go, hey, I want my house back.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. So, and judges think like that. I mean, no judge is sitting there saying, oh, I want to hear this case. I mean, on occasion they do. But generally, if you can compel somebody to arbitration, if you're a judge, you know why you do it? You do it because it gets it off your docket. It's one less case you have to deal with. And in this case, it's one less media firestorm that you're never going to survive with any kind of a plum.
Other than the personal ramifications, and again, I'm sure Melania understood what she was getting into, whether it was spoken or not, entered this relationship.
Have you seen her face when she's on the arm of one of the Marines who's fully dressed up when she's walking in? Like when she was walking into the State of the Union, she was on the arm of one of the Marines who was decked out in his dress.
I'm sure Gary will
find it.
Summon that from the internet.
I want you to tell me if you've ever seen a picture in the last 10 years where she's beaming like she's beaming when she's standing next to Donald Trump as they're coming back from Camp David on the helicopter, or even when she's with her son. I think Gary will get, while he's bringing it up, you know what I'm going to talk about?
Hmm.
Something that's also near and dear to my heart. Zip Recruiter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They got me. Zip Recruiter, by the way, hiring, posting to job sites, and waiting for the right people to see it. They built a platform that finds the right candidates for you. By the way, I use them. Got a candidate. So far, so good. They learn what you're looking for. They identify people with the right experience, and they then invite them to apply to your job. 80%, which is amazing, because nothing works 80%.
No
theory. I had a college professor used to say that no theory works 80% of the time. 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate in just one day. That's amazing. The right candidates are out there, which is true. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter, guess what? Free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/doubt. That's ZipRecruiter.com/doubt. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire, right?
So, Mark, though, we'll stay on Stormy for a second.
Yeah, let's stay on Stormy for you want to get on Stormy for a second.
Other than humiliation.
Yeah.
And a general, you know, I think there's just sort of an attempt to, you know, there are many elements of war. This is the psychological part of war. You know,
yeah, but what is the, I don't understand the downside. I think just like a lot of guys, I remember living through it, used to think, oh, Clinton's getting a lot of game. You know, he's right. A dog, but he's getting a lot of game. Don't you think that most guys say to themselves, Stormy's there, you know. I'm not going to bang this thing. I hate to, you know, have my id talk, but.
Yeah, your id. Yeah. I'll let my reptilian brain speak freely for a moment.
Please. Through your mind? What went through your mind when you first saw her?
She looked hot, and nobody who voted for Trump is not voting for Trump because of this dalliance. As a matter of fact, we assume this is what guys do who are in this position and who own golf courses and who live this kind of life. In a weird way, it's almost a disappointment when you find out they were with look, when you see Bernie Sanders and his Hausfrau, you're not disappointed. You go, it's spot on. That's exactly what he should be doing. But if you took Bernie Sanders' old lady and put him next to Donald Trump, and you went, oh, she's been with him for 41 years. They met outside of college, and he loves her as much today as he did the first day he met her at Wharton. You'd be going, what the fuck?
And you know what cracks me up? I listen to some of these commentators, and it just, this is really getting the Republican women upset. With the Republican women. I said, you know what? The problem, for every Republican woman that is getting upset, there are two Democratic male blue collar voters who have just said, "Oh yeah, this guy's got game."
It's kind of an interesting thing because I don't, Lynette loves Bruce Springsteen, and if it ever comes up that he cheated on his first wife with Patty, whatever, or maybe he cheated on Patty, Lynette's like, so what? He sings Born to Run. Like,
right.
She has no interest in whatever he's doing outside of his relationship because she's a big fan of him.
Right.
So if you voted for Trump, you voted for Trump. And when the people that go, well, what about the evangelicals and stuff like that? Here's why they're going to vote for Trump. They're going to vote, the evangelicals are going to vote for Trump because they're going to have a choice between Bernie Sanders, Diane Warren, is it Diane Warren?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth Warren. Diane Warren's the songwriter. It's going to be Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump. And guess what? They're going with Donald Trump.
That's why I said I don't know who the Democrats think they're going to run in 2020. The only hope they have is to take over the House and the Senate in 2018. And I can see the House. I just can't see the Senate. And so the House could impeach, but the Senate's not going to convict.
It's an interesting argument. It's spurious. It's made on both sides. You know, they go like, yeah, but how could you in good conscience vote for Donald Trump? This man has stepped out on his wife and you're a religious person. And it's like, the reason they're voting for Donald Trump is because the choice is Van Jones.
Yeah.
That's why they're voting for Trump. They never really say, well, how could you vote? It's not how could I vote. It's if he was running against Pat Robertson, they'd probably vote for Pat Robertson. But he's running against Van Jones, and there's no scenario where they're voting for Van Jones. Thus, a vote is a vote. So you could have a hot dog stand, two hot dog stands, and you could make a horrible Oscar Mayer hot dog with no snap in the casing and a stale white bun and the kind of mustard that's all weird pussy water that squirts out and gets into the bun before the actual mustard hits. And then you could have another one that the guy put up his ass before he dropped on the bun. And then you would then get the one with all the pussy bad mustard on it and the dry bun. And people would say to you, do you love that hot dog? And you'd go, no,
no.
This other one he puts up his ass. So I'm going with this one. And they'd go, but I don't get how you could support this guy's business. It's got the bad runny mustard with the water on it and the bun's all stale and the hot dog's Oscar Mayer doesn't have a good snap on the casing. I go, you don't get it. I'm not buying this guy's. It's not that I love this. It's the alternative to this other thing, which I would never do.
It's absolutely. When it's a binary choice, that's it.
Right. So that's
end of that.
That's,
and the other thing that I think that people don't understand is if you're ideologically progressive or a left-wing ideologue, the idea of getting rid of Trump and getting Pence, I mean, you have to think that through.
Pence, that's another one. That's another thing, right?
Yeah, I don't understand. What is the point of Trump not being there so you can have Mike Pence? I mean, that's really what you want? That's your end game?
Well,
talk about be careful what you wish for. And I hate to sound like Omarosa, but I mean, I don't understand. That's what you want.
Then we got one guy in Pence who won't go to dinner unless there's a third party there. Like,
right.
He won't go out to dinner with a woman unless his wife is with him. And then another guy who won't go out to dinner with his wife only goes out to dinner with porn stars
exactly.
alone at his golf resort. It's quite a swing the other direction, and it's not something I believe you're looking for if you're left-leaning.
No, I don't get it. It's just, I understand trying to invalidate the election because, once again, that was exactly what happened in the 90s. But at a certain point, run a candidate. You know, I mean, the 18th district this week in Pennsylvania, Connor Lamb was a great candidate for a Democrat, but try to have Connor Lamb win a national election. It will never happen. You're not going to find a guy. I mean, he's square-jawed, former prosecutor, ex-military, likes his guns,
right.
Personally anti-abortion, but politically whatever. But that guy can never win out of a primary,
well,
a Democratic primary nationally.
So let me ask this then. There's two kinds of heads on this. One is, oh, he's a Democrat who won. Yeah, because he seems like a Republican.
Well, that was I thought the White House had made a good point. He ran as a Republican. Yeah, and by the way, if it takes that kind of guy, who, by the way, you send to central casting if you want, and he still barely by 400 votes beats the guy who, did you check out this guy, Saccone, that he beat? This guy looked
dynamic.
Oh, my God. This guy couldn't have been a worse candidate if they tried.
But so here's the question to you, Mark Garagus. If you're the Democrats, do you think, well, look, the people have sort of spoken. I guess they'd like a tax break. They'd like businesses. They're interested in the economy and in business. They'd like some of these remediations or offshore companies to come back. And okay, and they want a wall. They want the border secure. And I guess they like their guns. They want to do something about these school shootings, but not if it means taking their guns away. All right, these are the things that Americans sort of have in mind. Do we put forth a candidate who represents those things to be, you know, sort of Trump light, like a nice version of Trump? This guy, like you said, he's got some military background.
Right.
He's an attorney.
Former prosecutor.
Former prosecutor. I've seen him at all the dinners.
All the former prosecutors' alumni events.
Do we essentially kind of, but he's got good table manners. He looks the part. He's civilized. He doesn't tweet from the toilet in the middle of the night. Let's beat them at their own game, or do we go hard left and go, we need Bernie Sanders' bisexual niece up here who just talks about anarchy and college free and healthcare free? Do we swing really hard that way, or do we move it a little more toward the center and beat him in his own game?
Would you look at what the front runners are for the Democrats in 2020? Let me give you the front runners, and you can count them on one hand. Bernie Sanders, who's what? How old?
He's 68? I don't know, 72?
70
74.
Something? He's older than Trump. He's older than Trump by a couple
of years. You're right.
Right. Joe Biden, who's even older than Sanders.
Right.
Okay.
76 is Bernie? Okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, 76. And how old is Joe Biden? 78? Uncle Joe?
Yeah, he's up there.
He's older than Sanders.
Yeah.
75?
His hair's in its 30s. So. But, yeah.
Then you've got Eric Garcetti. Really? Because what he, I mean, Eric Garcetti is running for president in 2020. It's astonishing. Kamala Harris?
Yeah, Harris.
And Cory Booker? I mean, Elizabeth Warren, you can say all you want, but Elizabeth Warren, I mean, the fact that she turned down the DNA for the Cherokee Nation and this or that, I mean, they'd have a field day. I mean, in fact, I think the Republicans are secretly trying to have her put up as a candidate because it'd be such a wipeout.
Right.
So that's, I mean, those are the, that's really what we're looking at. Or Oprah. I mean, that is the baker's half dozen.
Yeah. Speaking of Kamala Harris, I'm curious. She's sort of flirting with basically open borders.
Right.
Now it's an interesting thing because it's like the talking points are we need to do something about the immigration and we need border security, but then there's nothing to do with border security that you have any interest in any legislation. So we had a situation out here in at least California where the mayor of Oakland tipped off some of her constituency that ICE was doing a raid. We had a situation that I find interesting that Gary can look into as well. There was a guy out in Colorado who was an illegal alien who I guess probably was driving drunk, smashing a semi-truck. Caused a huge fire, killed the driver of the truck. He then was arrested, but of course the local sheriffs or police would not communicate with ICE. So then this guy gets off on a $25,000 bond, and now he's off. And we don't believe he's coming back. I don't know why he would. And now ICE has to go find him. Although ICE could have met him outside of the sheriff's station when he was released and collected him then.
I don't understand. A lot of this I don't understand. Having done a ton of criminal work in the last 15 years that involved ICE detainers and involved the idea of immigration consequences, I do not understand why all of a sudden this is an issue, because it has clearly been a problem for criminal defendants to have an ICE detainer lodged against them before Trump was around. I mean, this was standard operating procedure that you could. In fact, there was a case. God, I wish I could remember the name. 2 years ago, where they ruled, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the criminal defense lawyer was ineffective as a matter of law if he didn't properly counsel the client on the immigration consequences of a plea, because people were, you know, lawyers were pleading people to offenses that were then what were called aggravated felonies, which then caused them to get deported. So other than confronting the issue head on now, I don't understand why this is such a raging issue, because it's been something for the last 15 years that you have to deal with as a criminal defense lawyer.
Well, don't you think there are going to be consequences, for instance, if you are the mayor of Oakland and you tip? So I think the argument is that if you tip off, it's a lot safer for ICE to collect guys from the county lockup than it is for them to go into their neighborhoods knocking on doors and looking for them. In terms of innocent people being hurt, innocent people can be hurt when you're banging on, ICE guys are banging on doors versus showing up at the local sheriff in the car with the bars on the window.
I think I mentioned this last week or maybe the week before that I remember a case where a prosecutor was indicted and pled and served time for tipping off somebody that there was a federal investigation about them. That's a crime.
Here's what I'm not sure that I understand. So now Sessions is going to sue or looking at suing or has begun.
I think he's already
begun the process of suing the mayor of Oakland. Also, I don't know why there's not a sort of common sense thing, which is, all right, we're Colorado and we're progressive and we don't want to help ICE collect up illegal aliens. But if one killed somebody and we have him in custody and he makes his bond, then that guy will happily hand over to ICE because he's a criminal.
What's interesting to me as to whether or not, and I haven't plumbed this, but obviously at some point we're going to face it, whether or not there's liability or whether there's an immunity, whether the, because there's a presumption generally of an immunity by municipalities. So if somebody, for instance, I'll give you a hypothetical. If there was somebody in the LA County jail and if the sheriff says, I'm not going to adhere to an ICE detainer, I'm not going to call him up, the person gets out and then the person kills somebody, does the family, who do they have a wrongful death suit against the sheriff for releasing this person in contravention of federal law?
I would assume that in a world where everybody where everyone gets sued for everything, I would assume that if this guy goes back to his apartment, ICE shows up at the wrong apartment and fires a bullet that goes through a wall and strikes a toddler, that yes, there's going to be lawsuits because they had this guy and they sent him on his way. And now we got a dead toddler. I'll tell you the details of the Denver hit and run story. Gary has it. First, I'll tell you about Omaze giving away the sixth Model 3 Tesla ever made. There's actually one. I like to say the cars live on my street. There's a Model 3 that lives on my street.
Really?
I pass it when I take Phil out for a walk.
Towards Woodley or towards the...
Toward Woodley.
Towards Woodley, okay.
Toward Woodley. But it belongs, this one, this particular Model 3, and I had to look at it five times because Lynette has the S.
Right.
She's now getting the X, and
she's getting the X. What's Paulette's?
She uses PF Flyers. Yeah. She walks everywhere. I got into a heated discussion with her in your garage about why she plugs the thing in every single day.
I said, don't
plug it in. I said, where are you going? She said, I'm going to Pasadena and then back. I'm like, that's 11 miles. I plug it in every time. I said, don't plug it in ever. Plug it in once. Get down to 50 miles left on the odometer and then plug it in.
Did you explain to her that that's...
that's why you have it.
Right. Exactly. I don't get it either. I don't understand.
She's on top of her game. Like, you can't argue with her modality. It always works. Anyway, where was I? Oh, Omaze. That's right. So the Model 3 Tesla, the sixth one ever made, it belongs to Kimball Musk. That's Elon's brother. And the proceeds are going to benefit Big Green Learning Gardens and food literacy programs. So Omaze is offering once-in-a-lifetime experience and prizes. All you have to do is support a great cause for your chance to win. Donate as little as $10. You check out all the experiences. So what Omaze does is you give a, you know, donate to a good cause, and then you get the chance to, I don't know, sing with the Backstreet Boys or get the Model 3 Tesla. Omaze, that's omaze.com/doubt. Enter for a chance to win. Omaze. .com/doubt. All right, so the Kamala Harris and the Denver hit and run story. Sorry.
Yeah, so Kamala Harris, I think we pretty well covered. She's just coming out in support of what this mayor did. But the Denver hit and run, it appears that this gentleman was driving drunk on Interstate 70, and he collided head on with a semi, and the semi's cab and trailer both caught fire, and the driver died. He was arrested for vehicular manslaughter and held on $25,000 bond, which he was able to post.
Hold on right there for a second. There's a picture of the guy has a giant owl tattooed and a ace of spades like on a under his right eye. First things first, there's a huge fireball. I mean, there's a film of this thing. I mean, they're literally lighting up the night sky. Doesn't $25,000 feel a little light for manslaughter?
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine that's the bail schedule. I mean, here they charge you with murder. I mean, L.A. County, that'd be a murder case.
He blew up this guy's semi-truck because he was driving drunk, and he made the bond. And I have many questions. So it's $25,000, right?
Right. He was able to post that at 5:28. Then, without much of an explanation, an hour later, they then notified ICE.
So this thing where you have a guy who's accused of murder or manslaughter,
right?
Whatever. Yeah. He's driving drunk, going the wrong direction on the freeway. He kills a guy.
Right. Makes a huge difference because if you're charged with murder, I don't know what that county's bail schedule is, but if it were here in L.A., it's the difference between a $50,000 bond and a $1 million bond.
You're now looking at another site which looks more reputable that's saying vehicular homicide DUI.
Yeah. And see, in L.A., this would be murder.
Okay. So that's L.A. But now the guy's undocumented, and I guess he's been picked up a few times coming and going, and he posts a $25,000 bond, and then you let him go. Doesn't that seem to most right-thinking people like he may miss his court date?
Well, I'm shocked that at the bail amount. I mean,
it seems insanely low, right?
Right. It makes very little sense.
Is that political?
No, I think it's just I hate to say it. I don't think that they think about those things because if somebody had spent 30 seconds thinking about it, they just killed somebody. You're sitting here with somebody who's got no incentive to return to court, and if you were in front of a judge and you asked for a bail deviation, which means taken out of the standard schedule, the mother of the judge hasn't been born. That's not going to put this thing at some astronomical amount.
Well, you say they didn't think about it, but you think they didn't think about it?
I just think they don't. I mean, I hate to say it, but there's probably some jailer who just looked at the bail schedule and just put it in there.
Meaning it was already on the books, $25,000 vehicular manslaughter.
Most jurisdictions, the superior court judges or the trial judges for felonies come up with what's called a bail schedule. And the bail schedule is, for this offense, this is how much. And unless the cop or a prosecutor gets involved to ask for a deviation, that's what the jailer just does, garbage in, garbage out.
Right. So they would have one for aggravated assault and domestic disputes and whatever it is. They just have that number.
Now, I will tell you what is political. The bail amount is political. It used to be in the old days when I first started practicing domestic violence, it'd be own recognizance. Now it's a mandatory $50,000, even if there's no injuries.
Right.
That's because it has been politically, it has come about that we do not tolerate. We've got a zero tolerance policy.
When you're making bail, do you get a bail bondsman to come up with $25,000?
Generally, in California, for instance, and this is a raging debate, there's a new case, Humphreys has come out, and so they're challenging bail and what it is. But traditionally, for the last 30 years, you get a bondsman. If it's a felony, the bondsman will generally charge you 10%. Now that is negotiable because there was an AG's opinion, attorney general opinion, that said it wasn't a violation of law for bail bondsmen to negotiate the fee. But if you, for instance, if it was $50,000, you'd pay the bail bondsman $5,000, and then you'd put up your house or something else, and he would go put a piece of paper up, and that would guarantee your appearance.
So it seems to me, and Gary, you can see if this guy has been picked up a few times coming and leaving this country, but it seems to me that there's little to no chance he's going to hang out and face trial for this because he had a DUI, there's a dead body.
Yeah, if you know you're going to do 6 or 8 years, you're going to hang out here and see, or you're going to go to Mexico.
So when somebody ponied up the $25,000 worth of bail, I can't believe there's a bondsman who wanted to take that risk either.
The bondsman, if he sees $25,000, you pay the 10% and somebody puts their house up, he'll do it. It's
okay.
A standard operating procedure.
Well, I would be very curious who put their house up and how this is. Because when I heard the story, I had three thoughts, which is, look, I get the part where you don't want to tear apart innocent families and deport school-age kids who were born in this country.
Right.
I get all of that. Everyone who's decent gets that.
Right.
But this guy is not that. he killed somebody on the road. He's here illegally. He was driving drunk. And I don't think that's the kind of fella you want roaming the streets of Denver.
So let's go case by case. Right.
And yes, Gary has something to say. My next was $25,000. It seems insanely cheap for a charred trucker.
It is. I've found a little bit of precedent here. In Colorado, there have been 20 people charged with the same thing. Of those, 15 were given $50,000. So it appears the schedule is $50,000.
That would make sense to me.
Was
I can't
it political imagine. Then that his was 25?
Was it the same county? Because it would go county by county as opposed to...
Interesting yeah. to find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. We'll find out more information
and
about
then,
that.
And then it's weird that they called ICE an hour after letting him
right.
go.
Right, and why wasn't there a hold already? And generally... The ICE detainer, because the detainer is a hold. It's the same, you know, it's interchangeable. You put the detainer on so that before somebody is released, you detain them or you give the feds a kind of like a window to respond.
And it appears that he did find a bail bondsman willing to work with him.
So has he been collected by ICE? An interesting question. And then if you're going to notify ICE, why with the 60 Mississippi, why not just either notify them or not notify them at all? Why, what is the 1 hour waiting period and how would that?
I'm sure we'll find out more because something is peculiar. And so we'll figure it out.
All right. Well,
there's been three deputies reassigned in the wake of this. It's a little vague as to what the reasoning is, but it appears the department may know that they screwed up. And
yeah, that's what I would think. It's just a couple of. I mean, it sounds like an idiot squad.
I guess we're seeing more and more of that. Well, let's not be an idiot. Let's go with the Veridesk, shall we?
Right.
Today's top talent is selective about where they work, preferring flexible, active workspaces. New Veridesk Pro. 60 electric standing desk makes it easy. So it's the new Veridesk Pro 60.
You know what's so funny about this? There's a lawyer who works for me. His name's Aaron. He works on the East Coast. And I walked by his office yesterday when I was in Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. And he was standing and he had a Veridesk.
Oh, right.
And I said, why do you have a Veridesk and I don't have a Veridesk? I don't understand. The guy works for me. He's got one. I don't have one.
I feel that I walked into like Viacom or something like
right.
three weeks ago, and it was a sea
of
Veridesk and on all different levels and people standing there and sitting. And if someone has finally realized, you know, they talk about that thing all the time where like, hey, if you fly on a 6-hour flight or you fly to Australia or Europe, you're going to get thrombosis. You have to get up. You have to move around. It's not healthy to sit there for 6 or 8 hours or 10 hours. Well, what the hell do you think these secretaries do at work all day?
Right.
You sit. But now they figured out with Veridesk, you sit, you stand.
It's brilliant.
All Veridesk active workspace solutions improve employee health, boost energy, and productivity. And it's designed with commercial-grade material for durability and stability. Fully assembled in under 5 minutes, made to last, designed for simple setup, easy to move and configure. So you can try it risk-free 30 days. They know you're going to love it. Try it for 30 days. Free shipping, free returns if you're not totally satisfied. Learn more at Veridesk.com/Forbes. That's V-A-R-I, desks.
Do I get a discount? Do Reasonable Doubt listeners get a discount?
You can try it out for 30 days free.
Okay.
How about that?
And then, Gary, can we order one for me?
Vari, desk.com/Forbes.
All right.
Capitol Theater, Madison, Wisconsin, April 6th. That is a live stand-up show. Also, Ladin Theater, Portland, first ever stand-up special. So we're going to film it, so come on out and be part of it. Chris Darden is coming on the show next Saturday, so we'll look forward to talking to him all about the OJ and beyond. Go to AdamCarolla.com for anything you need. Mark, what do you got?
I've got, I think Casa Tropicana would be what I would talk about first. What do you think, Gary?
It's the best place ever. I love that place.
San Clemente, it's beautiful. The weather's nice. Prova Pizza, Grand Central Station, coming soon to Times Square. Mediterranean Tapas at Tenney downtown. Engine Company downtown and at LAX. And Mistrial, the audiobook that is narrated by?
Dawson. So, until next time, Adam Kroll for Mark Erica saying, mahala.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.